Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers, another Laker hockey show. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, and we're going to talk at length about the series at Minnesota State this past weekend. Lakers lose on Friday night 5-3, but come back for a great 1-0 win on Saturday night. Merrick Mittens, an outstanding performance there. And the only goal of that game from Pete Violette, who got his second of the season, and he's had quite a freshman year to this point. He's been a real impressive freshman player for the Lakers. But before we really get into things tonight, Damon and I want to mention a number of things that are going on in connection with the series with Bemidji this weekend. We've got all kinds of things to talk about. We got a whiteout against domestic violence coming up on Friday night. The first 1,000 fans in the building or through the doors will get T-shirts handed to them, and hopefully they'll wear them, and the rest of us are supposed to wear white as part of the whiteout. And I think that's a great idea, Damon, and talk a little bit about that and what you think of it.
Yeah, no question. We've had a good relationship with a couple different local charitable organizations, including the Diane Pepler Center, and one of our former associate ADs and compliance director Jen Constantino is now with the Diane Pepler Center and does a tremendous job, and what an important company for our business for our local community there. So we're happy to partner with them and bring some awareness to a very important issue. I think when you look at the stats of the effects of domestic violence in our community across Michigan, across our country, it's really staggering, and on college campuses. So it's an important issue, and one we're happy to partner with them. So it'll be nice to make that statement on Friday night by wearing the white, and then the first people getting in getting the free T-shirts. And I know you've got some other promotions you'll mention now as well.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. If you're interested in going to the game this weekend, you can get an online only 2-for-1 ticket deal until midnight tonight. So you got to take advantage of that, but you can get two tickets for the price of one. So you pay $14, you get two tickets instead of one if you're an adult. And there are special prices throughout there for seniors and kids as well, and that's only until midnight tonight, and it's only online. You got to go on the Laker website, and you'll find it there. You'll see the little connector for it, and you can get those tickets, use a credit card, and pick them up online. Also, we've got a Friday shutdown special for federal government employees and workers. You use your ID there, you get two free tickets to the game on Friday night if you're a federal employee who has been on the shutdown that's happened here of recent. And also, we've got a tailgater coming up at the Alumni House on Saturday night, and they're emphasizing there that all Laker fans are welcome to the tailgater. It'll be at Alumni House on campus at 5:30 p.m., and they'll have pizza, chicken wings, salads, chips, desserts, all that sort of thing, and you're more than welcome to attend. You do not have to be a member of the Alumni Association, although if you are, you get in free to that event. If you're not, it's a $5 charge just to cover the food. But a great way to get started for a hockey game on a Saturday night. And I thought it was interesting, too, Susan Fitzpatrick telling me today that they have the Laker Gold Scholarship competition this weekend on Saturday. What a great marketing plan this is. It's an invitation-only event for outstanding high school seniors. They have 22 seniors coming to campus on Saturday morning. They'll spend half the day doing things like an essay competition, personal interviews, campus tours, a brunch, and the winners get full tuition scholarship for up to 4 years at Lake Superior State University. They can renew it every year, plus $1,000 toward room and board. What a great deal that could be, and it is a competition, and the contenders have all been invited to the tailgater as well on Saturday night. So lots of things going on with this Bemidji series, and we'll get into that in a moment. We want to revert back to this past weekend, Damon. I think anytime you can get a split at Minnesota State, it's a darn good thing to do, and we did it with a 1-0 win on Saturday. And we could have won that game on Friday night, too. A few mistakes here and there, and once they scored that shorthanded goal in the first period, we didn't look as good as we did maybe the first 8 minutes or so of that period, but it was a good effort all the way around.
Well, you know what, it was a good start. When you watch those games back, I really liked our first 7-8 minutes. Our first 2-3 shifts, we kind of pinned them in, had them going, drew the penalty, and then the power play unit with Nordquist and Viet and then Cuglietta, that group did a really good job. They were in their zone for about a minute 10, minute 15 off the block shot. Mankato finally cleared it, and then we had a turnover on our, as we were kind of switching units and trying to get organized. penalized with our other power play breakout. We turned it over and, you know, gave up a breakaway, and they tucked it in there, Rivera. And, you know, that was a big momentum shift in that game at that moment after a really good start on the road. Their fans were out of it, and we were kind of pouring it on. And, you know, they were very timely. You know, it's a heck of a team. I think they're so well coached. They've got, you know, tremendous size throughout their lineup. Their back end is a little bit like ours in terms of size and skating. You know, I think our numbers overall, we've got a little bit more spread out and a little bit more offense from our back end. But again, their mobility, their size is really challenging to play against. And so that was a big momentum swing in the game early on there. And then we got chasing it a little bit. To me, we looked tired. I think that Alaska trip and the travel, you know, there was some fatigue in there. We played that way with some of our decisions. And, you know, there's no way you can give a team that as good as Mankato, you know, short ice and turnovers and odd man rushes, and they took advantage. You know, we gave up another breakaway goal on a 4-on-4. Again, we had controlled the puck for about 35-40 seconds, and then a little bit of a 50-50 puck, a little bit of a turnover, and they just poked it out to space, another breakaway, and, you know, we were chasing it. So we needed to be a little bit cleaner. You know, I thought Nick played really well. Two breakaways against, a 5-on-3, no chance. You know, they go, I think, 1-for-6 with their power play goal being a full 2-minute 5-on-3. So, you know, you don't love the calls in it. And I thought that was a challenge for us to have to overcome 6 kills to our 2 power plays. And, you know, and that goal came with, 23 seconds left or something like that late in the mm-hmm. period. So another big shift in momentum. And then we come out third period. Max Humid scores a great goal right early on, about a minute 10 or so into the third period. And, you know, Mike Hastings made a comment afterwards that we were never comfortable. You know, we kept pushing, we kept coming. I thought we had a really good third period. We outscored them 2-1 in the third period. And I thought that was big. You know, if we come out in the third period, if we don't sustain anything or don't generate a life, you know, I'm not sure we can come out Saturday with the energy and the jump we have. So I thought we kind of showed to ourselves that, you know, hey, we can come in here and play with them and find a way to win a game. So the way we finished Friday was really important to our start and to our game Saturday. And you want to keep going in Saturday now, Bill?
Yeah.
Keep rolling? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you know, a big, big win. And, you know, I we hear a lot about the shot differential. And you know what? They outshot us. There's no question about it. I don't think it was quite as lopsided as was recorded. You know, one thing we showed, Pete Viette had a great goal. You know, we flipped lines, switched some things up, as you probably talked about on the air, and really liked it. You know, a little bit concerned on paper when we rolled out a line with Pete Viette, Hampus Erickson, and Melvin Carlson. You have two freshmen with a sophomore center, and you're on the road against one of the best teams in the country, and that's a pretty young line to roll out there. And you know, they responded. They were unbelievable. Hampus, maybe his best game of the year. Pete Viette, a big time goal. You know, great assist from Ruggiero and Melvin Carlson. So I love that response there. Brendan McKay's line continued to play it extremely well. Diego played well with Humitz and Ashton Calder. And then the new line, you know, kind of thrown together with that other line was Braden Gelsinger on the left side. Gage Terrell's been in the middle for a couple games here now, and Anthony Nellis on the right side. And they had a strong game as well. Really good defensively, some chances to score, and loved our lineup. So with all that being said, you know, obviously, we're up a goal in the third period. They pull their goalie extra attacker. We actually showed our guys, we just looped some film today, how well we defended throughout that game. We had unbelievable stick habits, you know, really disrupting a lot of their chances, a lot of their play. And then we played straight the last 7 minutes, took out the timeout and the media timeouts and played it straight. And, you know, kind of asked the guys, you know, why did we play that? What's going on there? And Max Humid said, well, we were barely in our zone, coach. You know, they couldn't gain our zone. And that was part of it. We did a really good job to the neutral zone, taking away their speed, which we didn't do very well on Friday night. Had real good clears, getting back to pucks with numbers and getting out of our zone. To me, the amazing part was, so, you know, they've got the heavy press on. They've got their goalie pulled. We gave up one shot in the last 8 minutes of that game, and the only one we gave up was a 6-on-5 extra attacker situation. So just, you know, really thrilled with the way we played defensively. Post-game in the locker room, I think it was Gage Terrell or maybe Diego said, you know, hey, that's what it's going to be like from here on out. It's playoff hockey. There's not a lot of games left. Everybody's jockeying for playoff position. You know, we're going to have to be great defensively to continue this play and continue this run. And just what a great team effort defensively from our D-core to our forwards, the way we played. Great goaltending in Merrick's Mittens, and you know, was a big time win. They hadn't lost a game at home all season, one of the best teams in the country. I think we're the best road team in the country. They're the best home team in the country, and really, really big to get that win.
Yeah, it was quite a game on Saturday night. And you know, after it was over, I thought that what you just talked about was true. I thought that right in the last minute or so that Brendan McKay had about three times the puck came in over the blue line as they tried to set up some offense. He shot it right back out to the neutral zone every time they brought it in. And a lot of heavy hitting going on. A lot of their fans after the game were they were so upset they lost finally at home. They were picking on the Lakers for interference here and there and things like that. But there were a lot of things went by the board, I thought, in the game on Saturday night. I thought they could have called them for tripping on Gelsinger on the empty net play.
That would have been game over.
Yeah.
That was an easy call they missed. We got away with one about 2 minutes earlier where they could have called it. And, you know, it would have been big at that time, about 2.5 to play. And I think one of our defensemen kind of got tangled up and they went down and didn't call it. And then, but then with Gelsinger, 35, 40 seconds left, he's in to tap in an empty net goal and gets taken out. And if they call it, you know, we'd probably put a power play out with two defensemen and just play catch and, you know, try to ice that thing out. So, you know, it was a good game. And, you know, again, I thought the shot count was a little bit off, but we would have liked to generate more. But again, I thought we were fatigued. I think we're through the Alaska trip finally, the GLI, everything that's gone on. We gave the guys yesterday off. We showed up today, had a real spirited practice, a little over an hour. Got some power play work in because we've struggled. We had three power play chances on the weekend. And yeah. So, you know, say what you want, but could have been a few more there. But, you know, we've got to get back on track with our power play. I think we're down to 90% where we spent most of the year around 24, 26%. We did what we had to do in a tough road environment. And defensively, I thought we were outstanding. You know, our decor has played really well. You know, Jacob Nordquist is about 5'10", 5'11", but after that, we go anywhere from 6'1", 6'2", up to 6'4". We're big, we're heavy, we can skate well, we've got good stick skills, and you know, that's going to be our makeup going forward, a real good learning experience and a big-time win in a you know, an unbelievably tough place to play. Well, I think they had 8,000 people. It was a great crowd, great game.
Yeah, they had nearly 5,000 on Saturday night. It was like 4,852 or something, and they had 4,100 and something on Friday night, so you know, and they were disappointed, and rightfully so, on Saturday night. The Lakers did a great job of closing them down. Merrick Smitten was outstanding. I mean, he made two or three absolutely spectacular saves, including one on Mark Michaelis, where he simply caught the puck as a kid got in on a breakaway and got the shot away, and the Mittens just grabbed it, and that was it.
Yeah, and you can see the importance, you know, with the way both Nick and Merrick's have played, with having, you know, Zach on staff, and you know, the attention those guys get from having daily habits with a goaltending coach. And again, Zach does a lot more than just that, but certainly part of his specialty is working with those guys. And he was out with Nick today pre-practice for a goalie session. He'll have Merrick's tomorrow and Roman Thursday. You know, but great hand placement by Merrick. You know, he's kind of settled his game down a little bit. He's got tremendous hands. You know, and did a really good job. And you said they had two guys in all alone, and that was a real tight one in tight, and he just had his hands in the right place. And same thing on the other one. Was it Michaelis in early as well, or Toomey in early? And, you know, kind of a mini breakaway just from the hash marks in. And Merrick's had great positioning, great patience, and snagged it, and no rebound. So he played well, and it's good to see. You know, we've got very capable goaltenders in both positions, so it's good to have that this time of year.
Yeah, and the Lakers maintain their number 18 status in the top 20 of the NCAA poll by USCHO this week, and also moved into sole possession of fourth place. We actually have the tiebreaker with Michigan Tech right now by virtue of them having one more loss, but Lakers are in good position, fourth place right now, and you got a tough series coming up this weekend against Bemidji. You know, I broke down what you were talking about too. Since December the 7th, the Lakers have made a trip to Alaska where they swept the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, then went down and played the national development team in Plymouth and won that game 7-3, went to the GLI, won it, stayed in Detroit, and went over to Plymouth to practice, to fly up to Anchorage, which is just on the road that whole time, and also the Christmas break in there where everybody went home for a little while. And you went up to Anchorage, you swept there, you came home to play January 11th and 12th against UAH. You got a win and a tie there, and then you go to definitely the toughest place to play in the WCHA, Minnesota State, and you get a split there. So, you know, rightfully you can be tired, and I think you're probably wise to maybe take a little bit of a break now from heavy-duty practices and getting ready even for Bemidji, and yet You got to get prepared for the Beavers
Sure,
too.
you have to. And again, I really like this today. And we did power play work, as I mentioned, and you're coming off 2 days, Sunday, Monday, where you're not on the ice. And so Coach York kind of was giving me the gears a little bit, like, let's not do that next time. But I thought it was important. We'll get to rep that again Thursday and work a few kinks out and have some structure. You'll see a couple changes there, personnel wise and structure. And we've talked before, but we've kind of broken our season down into those 10 game segments. And this 10 game segment, our third segment, we're 6-1-1 right now, and we've got these two home games with Bemidji, real important games, obviously. And there's been talk about our home ice play, and then it's an area where we need to do better and really provide some separation. So we want to go 7-1-1 on Friday, and then refocus and get ready for Saturday. So if you two would have told me back then that with two trips to Alaska, the GLI, and that field, and then going to Mankato, we'd be 6-1-1, I'm not sure I would have believed. But real credit to the guys in the locker room, the way they've played, the preparation they've shown, and then their execution to go out and get it done. And so that's great. And now our worst travels through. When you look at some guys, some teams we're fighting with, when you look at Mankato, they still got to go to Alaska. I think Tech's on their way to Alaska tomorrow. We go to Ferris and Marquette left. So, really like the way the schedule's set up for the stretch run. We've got a bye week coming up after the next 2 weeks as well, where we're going to kind of bank some rest and heal up a little bit there. But real proud of the guys for the 6-1-1 stretch, and we want to finish it real strong this weekend.
All righty, we're going to talk about Bemidji when we return. We're going to take our first break of the night. Laker Hockey Show live from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back for our second segment tonight, and the
Getting
fans are out
rowdy,
here
getting
with us.
rowdy.
It's a rowdy crew we've got here, and I think some of these guys got here 3
Yeah,
o'clock this
pre-gaming.
afternoon. Yeah, they were pre-gaming. We got Bemidji State this weekend, and Bemidji State is a funny team. They're very sound defensively. They've got great goaltending. At least it's developed into being great goaltending. Zach Driscoll's kind of taken over that job, the sophomore goaltender. One thing I've always respected about Bemidji State is Tom Cerutori. I think he's a great coach. I think he does a tremendous job. And they'll be a tough team. They're going to be really difficult to beat. You're going to have to score goals against them, and special teams could have a major role. And it'll be interesting on Friday night.
Well, you know what? You hit a couple areas there, but I agree. Coach Cerutori has, done an unbelievable job. Up until a year or two ago, he's had the same staff for forever. Teddy Belisle and Bert Gilling were there with him for a long, long time. And then Teddy took a job with the LA Kings scouting, and Bert took a head coaching job in prep hockey. And so there's finally been staff turnover, and but that continuity was really good for them for years and years. And I think some fresh blood was also good for them as well. So a very well-coached team, very structured in the way they play. It's not like some teams that come in and they want to kind of race around, and you can kind of exploit some areas. They're going to have numbers back in all situations. Again, very, very controlled, very deliberate the way they play. They really make you come through layers, and possessing pucks is really important against them, and making that good first pass, because that's where they can kind of jump on you and transition and get you coming back the other way. And so that'll be really important. And they play with tremendous gap. The tenacity and the compete level they play with is really outstanding. And that was a big point we drove down today. The way they hound pucks, the way they reload and reattack, is really impressive. So, as always, he's got them playing well. You haven't hit Players of the Week yet, but Driscoll's coming in off Goaltender of the Week. Had a great weekend against Michigan Tech there in the outdoor game, and then indoors on Saturday night. And, it always feels like you're playing a hot goalie. And, watching him on film the last few weeks, and he's won the job. I think he's played six in a row, maybe eight in a row now. And I think he's really, really good. You can't beat him down low. He reads the play extremely well. So he's playing well. Like we've seen a little bit this year, Beaudry is a defenseman leading their team in scoring as a senior. Not as high scoring as maybe a Mankato or some teams you face, but a tenacious group that comes at you, good special teams, an outstanding penalty kill, and they got a guy like Jay Dickman on the power play who can just absolutely rip pucks, and if you give him a second or an opening, he's going to bury it. So they throw a lot at you, very well coached, very good team, and coming off a couple really good wins. So they're a confident group. They also had the Rookie of the Week. So confidence is high, and it's going to be a big, big test here Friday night.
Yeah, they got a couple of the special awards this past week. We'll hit those in just a few moments here. They got a defenseman named Dylan Eichstedt, who's very good. He's a senior now. He's got 3 goals, 12 points. Their leader, as you just said, is Justin Beaudry. He's got 19 points, 5 goals, 14 assists. Aaron Miller leads them in goal scoring with 10. He has 17 points. Charlie Combs, 9 goals and 17 points. So they spread it out. They don't have goal scorers like the Lakers do at this point. In fact, I wanted to make mention of Diego in just a moment. He's got 17 goals now, and we can talk about him in a second. We'll stick right now with Bemidji. But you look at the power plays, Bemidji's at 16.5% on the power play. Lakers have dropped down to 19.2%. Penalty kill, they're at 84.4. That's really good. Lakers are at 83.5. So they're a little bit better killing penalties. Lakers are a little bit better on the power play. We score more goals than they do. We're averaging nearly 3.5 a game. They are barely at 2.54. Goals against, though, they're better than Lake Superior there, 2.35 to our 2.42. So it's going to come down to goaltending, special teams, and quickness, and how you adapt to what they do.
Yeah, as it often does, you know, the game doesn't change a whole lot, right? And it's funny, every time you play, there's not a lot of differences, you know. And I can't remember who I was listening to recently, but, you know, it might have been Mark D'Antonio down at Michigan State. It's hard to win games, you know. I think they had a stinker late there. They won on the road, and it's hard to win. It doesn't matter who you're playing or where you're at. It's difficult to win. We've done a great job at it so far this year, but it doesn't change. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the locker room and the team and, you know, Tuesday practice here. It's you know, you can see outside what it's doing here in the Sioux and the cold temperature and the travel. And, you know, guys showed up ready to play today. And so it's just a real credit to our locker room. You know, we talk a lot about the seniors, but there's certainly a lot of other guys that are right along there. Steven Ruggiero brings such energy and enthusiasm every single day. You know, we've got a young D core, but those guys bring it. I think they prepare us to play other D teams, and it's a real credit to the group that they show up every single day. So I think, unlike a lot of years preparation wise, you know, we've been ready to play. I'm not sure there's a game you can really point to where we said, man, we were really off or weren't ready to play. And, you know, I expect that to continue, and we want to have a good couple days here. We're trying to be real, you know, deliberate with our practice planning in terms of what we're trying to accomplish, and still somewhat short and brief. Again, we want to get through, you know, this series before we kind of really get really back to normal with shorter trips and a bye week coming up, and fully get rested as much as you can this time of year. So, you know, we again, deliberation in what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish. We're going to touch longer than we wanted to today, but that was mostly power play work that we thought was pretty beneficial.
Yeah, I would say right now rest is probably more important than practicing, although you got to get ready for the team you're going to play against. You got to look at tendencies. I know before the game on Saturday night, Zach Sizek's got the computer out, and he's actually, I looked on at what he was doing. He's looking at Bemidji State playing the night before against Michigan Tech. So he was already starting to take a look at how Bemidji State plays. And hey, they got to be good. They beat Michigan Tech twice, and Tech's a good team.
Oh, yeah, no question. They are good, you know, and they've had good wins all season long, and, you know, a little bit, you know, maybe not as consistent with the wins where, you know, they'll win 2-3 in a row and drop one and 2-3. So it's a good team, and, you know, I think Zach deserves a lot of the credit. He ends up taking the majority of our prep work. You know, it's divided up a little bit in some different ways, but, you know, his background coming out of Miami and Notre Dame, he, you know, did a lot of that for those programs and takes a lot of pride in it. So his ability to break down the video and get through the video, you know, organize it in a really thorough way. We've talked a lot with our team that their retention level has been outstanding as well. They're doing a really good job retaining, you know, what's presenting to them, the small adjustments we make in our own game, and tweaking, you know, what we can do to maybe try to take advantage of a way a certain team plays. So Zach's done a really good job of preparing our team as a group, and then, you know, getting that organized and presenting it to the team as well. And you witness that, like you're saying, you know, he's always, you know, an opponent to our head. As good as the job he does in our current opponent, he's up on the next games and just been a real, you know, asset in terms of his preparation that way. And I was also thinking too, we haven't really touched on it, but, you know, with all this travel, with the guys' bodies, things like that, I just want to give Natalie Reynolds a real credit to the job she's doing, along with Nathan Williams, our strength conditioning coach. You know, we meet weekly every Monday. We sit down as a full staff and, you know, try to map things out and get a feel, and, you know, certainly take feedback back from our players, in particular upperclassmen who have been through the college grind. But Nate and Natalie have done a really good job of, feeding and reading off our guys, what they need, and then getting them to spots to recover and be healthy, managing injuries and preventing injuries. So they deserve a lot of credit too. They've done a real good job for us.
Yeah, and these young guys do a good job of staying in shape, eating properly, taking care of the bodies. They have some of the drinks they'll have that are special, that add no calories, that sort of thing, or they add a lot of calories depending on what they're going to do. But all the athletes I think do that these days, so that's not just Lake Superior State that's into that. But I want to talk for a minute about Diego. Has 17 goals now, and he nearly hit the empty net at the end of the game on Saturday. He missed it by about 5 inches as it went by, and that would have been his 18th goal of the season. He is second in the nation in goal scoring. And you've got two Hobey Baker candidates on this team, he and Anthony Nellis. Lake Superior State's never had two candidates for the Hobey Baker on one team. We've had a number of candidates over the years, I think six or seven of them now. And Mark Vermette, probably the best of them, he finished second to Rob Stauber in 1988's balloting. But it's been since 1996 when Keith Aldridge was nominated that we've even had a nominee. And we got two of them this year, and I would say that's a real feather in the cap for those two young men.
Yeah, very deserving. And I know Dr. Pateson did a real good job coming in. As many of you know, when you enter on our first level now, there's that board with the Hobey list there and kind of celebrating that history and tradition. And he was kind of surprised when he looked at our history. You know, it's the Hobey candidates we've had, tremendous players and a lot of, great players who deserve that recognition. And we didn't really have that celebrated. So it's been a great addition, to the arena. And now we hope we can add, a little bit more history to that with the seasons Diego and Anthony are having. It's well-deserved recognition. We talked with our team last week. There's been a lot of awards, from the GLI alternative tournament team and MVPs, things like that. And, this group doesn't care. Diego doesn't care if he scores two goals and is leading the country, and Anthony doesn't care. It's very unselfish. They're rooting for the guys next to him. We've dealt with some hardship, and, guys are really pulling for Max to come back with the hardship he's dealing with. And, great to see him player of the week last week. So it's a very unselfish group. It really shows in the way we play and, how tight we are as a team. But it's been really great to be part of a group that just roots for each other, and they don't care where the credit goes. They just want to find a way to win a game, no matter who can help and who can chip in.
Yeah, they've I would say it's the best chemistry that I've witnessed on a Laker team in a long, long time. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back for our third segment at the Antlers. It's the Laker Hockey Show again tonight on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for our third segment into the second half of this Tuesday night show. We're on every week right here at the Antlers. Don't forget Laker Hockey Talk on Thursday morning at 8:30. Damon and I will be there for that show as well, and we'll really spend some time on Bemidji State that morning. But we're still talking about the Lakers at this point, and we wanted to get into some of the things that happened this past weekend. We didn't really talk about there was an incident in the third period of the game that the Lakers won 1-0 on Saturday night, where you called the official over, and then they went to the official scorer's bench and they looked at the video, and I think it was Brett Klesowski, the referee, he was in there for a good 4 minutes looking at this play. And was that the play where Gamblin was double teamed into the wall on the far side?
Right. And I'm not a big, I don't love the ability for the refs to go in and look at it. I think it just slows the game down. And I don't know if Mike, Coach Hastings, thought that's what we were doing, but it was a bad hit, And Brett came out and said, we missed it. Could have been too easily. When they go in and there's nothing originally called, they can only call a major. They can't call a 2 minute on it if it wasn't originally called. So, they couldn't add to it. They didn't feel like it warranted it. I thought watching it back, it easily could have. Brett originally thought that he started to fall before he was hit, but that wasn't the case, and he was driven into the boards from behind from a dangerous distance. So it was a bad hit. It was missed. It's part of it. And again, I thought Saturday's standard was a little bit better than Friday's in terms of, they let us play. There's a couple of calls missed each way. I think when you go on the road to a team like that, you know that's going to happen a little bit, and part of it's because of the way they play. I mean, they're a top five team, top six team, whatever, for a reason. They skate so well that they put pressure, a lot of pressure pressure on opposing teams to try to catch them, to try to defend. And so a lot of times it's warranted, but that was certainly a missed one there and a dangerous play. Fortunately, Chase was fine and was able to brace himself before going in head first or affecting his head or upper body in any way.
Well, it's a good thing it was Chase. He's a big, strong kid. He could take that little bit of abuse, but there were two guys hit him on that play, one on one side and one from behind. And we talked about it at the time. There was a high sticking on Gelsinger one time where you'd see his head snap back because the stick hit him up in the neck because he was skating in behind their net. But none of that stuff got called. It doesn't matter at this point. The Lakers win the game anyway. A lot of talk out in Mankato about going to the NCHC. They did apply last year to go to the National Collegiate Hockey Conference. They think that's what they'd like to do. And I asked Paul Allen, their sports information director, are you guys sure that's what you want to do? You might want to think that over because you're a perennial team in the NCAA tournament right now. The NCAA is tough to get into. Sure. If you go to the NCHC, you're going to be fighting against St. Cloud State and Minnesota Duluth and North Dakota and Denver and trying to get into the NCAA. Might be a little bit easier for you to stay in the WCHA where you're kind of the kingpin right now. But they think they're going to increase the recruiting and they're going to be they're going to be like Minnesota Duluth if they go to that league.
Well, I think the issue is the footprint of our league doesn't make sense right now. Or what it is. When it happened, it happened. But for Minnesota State to not be playing Duluth and St. Cloud and the other Minnesota-based schools more regularly is tough for anybody. Just like us with with Western Michigan. We have a great school in our state that's an easy trip, an old bus trip. Obviously, we all know it from the CCHA days. You can throw Miami in there as well, and it doesn't make sense. It was a kind of a knee-jerk reaction when Penn State was created and the Big Ten had to be formed per their bylaws, and we need some sanity in the West. I'm not sure how sustainable it is to make the two trips a year. And I know Alaska's have to do it. They know that as a program. I spent time up there and understand that from that point of view. But for all everybody else, we don't want to go up there a couple times a year. It's really tough on the players. It's tough on the budget. It's not a great fit. It's not a great makeup right now. And Bowling Green's been very vocal about it. Mankato's, like you said, they've actually deliberately tried to apply and withdraw and leave. So there are issues in the West because of the footprints of the leagues. And I don't think it'll be long before some other shakeout happens. But we'll see what that looks like and what ultimately is going to happen.
Well, we've got some questions from our fans here tonight too. There's the easy question here for this coming weekend. What kind of team is Bemidji State? We kind of talked about that already, but they're a tough defensive team. They've got great goaltending. They're well coached, and they're feisty. They do not back down, and if they get ahead of you, they can be really tough.
Yeah, no question. I mean, and they've got some guys, when you look at the track record of a couple of their forwards, they're sitting around 17 points or at 17 points. They were high-end scorers in junior hockey, so they've got some tremendous stick skills. You give them that breakdown happens, or they find that guy. There's no question they got guys who can find the back of the net and score at will. So, I am encouraged because of the way we play defensively, and that's a part of what we have to do. We know the offense is there. You mentioned Diego and Nellis, and we've got a D core that's scoring at a high level, and Humitz and Gels and Terrell. So we've got talent. We've got a good group who can score, but we've got to be great defensively and want to limit their opportunities. If we can play with that same mindset, stick habits, and heaviness, then I think it'll find success for us this weekend.
We didn't really hit on it all that much, and a lot of the fans who do watch Flow Sport or Flow Hockey did see the goal, but that goal Saturday night Violette scored was about picture perfect. A tremendous pass by Ruggiero, who's always looking for somebody up ice. He went from one side of the ice to the other side, to the corner right outside our blue line, to Melvin, and then Carlson took it in over the blue line. He was met with defensive resistance, so he just slid the puck to his left, and Violette saw what was going on, and right up the middle, full speed, gone.
Yeah.
Right in on goal scores.
I think there's a
lot. It was
lot.
A great play.
It was. And there's a lot to talk on. I mean, that was one of our clips, against their neutral zone offense. There's that retention. Show the guys, two, three clips of the way they want to play in the neutral zone, and, a couple options to counter it. And so Steven Ruggiero did a tremendous job to read that play, and Melvin to be in the right spot. So a tremendous neutral zone transition play. was just kind of bang, bang. And Melvin had one step, drew the defender over, saucer pass to Pete, and it was in the back of the net before you knew it. So great execution on that. That's one of those clips that you clip as a master clip and you save it to your master file. Say, hey, next year we're going to use this for our neutral zone transition. We had another play in the second period, I believe it was, where Pete Viet offensively was climbing up the wall offensively. Yeah. Colin Sockerman scissored down his back. We like to activate our D. That's, you know, part of the reason why these guys are putting up the numbers they are. So Sockerman goes down the wall. Pete leaves it to him. He goes back door over to Gamlin. Just an unbelievable play. Unfortunately, Chase kind of put it back across the crease, didn't put it in what was a wide open net. But another one where you clip it and you say, hey, we're going to use this to show our guys, you know, what our OZP looks like and, you know, how we want our defensemen activating from the blue line. So a couple of real tremendous examples of, you know, executing our system and retention of what the players are doing. I think the other thing that kind of brought up Bill to me was Pete Viet. You look at Pete and Melvin, Ashton, Jacob Nordquist. You know, this year's been so much different for our freshmen than past years. When you look at Diego, Gage, Nellis, you know, when they came in as freshmen, they had to do everything right away. You know, they didn't get the, I guess, luxury in some way that Ashton and Pete and Melvin are getting, where, you know, we could slowly break them in and give them more and let them come along a little bit more naturally. I guess as a freshman, you probably don't want that. You want to be thrown right into the action and counted on for all those things. But I think long-term wise, it's probably a much healthier way to bring guys into college hockey where you don't need to put them out in the top power play, the top penalty kill unit. You can slowly let them adjust to the level, the speed, the size, and the skill. And I think those guys are showing a great adjustment at this point. You know, I think Ashton's at 9 or 10 points now. Pete's got two game-winning goals now. Melvin Carlson has played extremely well the last couple of weeks. And he was a guy that had a hard time getting in early. You know, he's never been in the U.S., so it was a little bit longer transition to him to college hockey, to our NHL sheet, all those things. But those guys are really playing along. Jacob maybe is the opposite, where he was, you know, from day one, he was pretty darn good and impacting the game offensively. But the freshmen, you know, we're in January, so they're no longer freshmen. And you know, fortunately, they're not playing like it. They're executing at a really high level. And, you know, that last 8 minutes, that last period, we rolled four lines. You know, we didn't shorten the bench at all. That was with the line with two freshmen on the wing with Hampus, and that was Brendan McKay. And, you know, those guys, everybody played extremely well. So to be able to go out there, roll four lines in the row without a matchup is a really good feeling as a coach to have that faith and trust throughout your lineup.
Yeah, I guess the only negative that came out of all that was Yuki Miura never did play. Yeah. I don't think he got on the ice for one shift in the game, and he was so happy that he was in the lineup for Saturday night. I felt really bad for him. But, hey, that's when you're playing a tough team and it's 1-0.
Yeah, no, it's hard. And, you know, that's been the, you know, with that 13th forward a couple times, it's been that way. You know, that first shift or two is so important. And I'm not sure I've done a very good job of, you know, getting them in early enough, you know. And so we've had a couple of guys finally get in, and it maybe doesn't go the way they want, and now they're restricted more. And I actually talked to Yuki post-game, and it wasn't by design. I mean, we had full intent to use Yuki, his quickness, his speed, we thought could have been effective. Now, the other side of it is, like I just mentioned, we rolled four lines. Our guys were playing, and so there's not anybody who's struggling and say, well, we can sit him down or looks overly fatigued and get Yuki in there. But it wasn't by design. And then the other side of it is, we told Yuki as well, you know, when we put you in, we want to put you in a situation where you can be successful. And when it's a one-goal game against a team with a ton of pace and a ton of size, you know, it was a challenge for me to find that opportunity where we could go get him a good shift and he could build off it and back it up and be confident and find him another shift within 4 or 5 minutes. And so there was a couple things there, me not doing a good job getting him out there, and then also looking for the right opportunity where he could go out and have a really good shift and kind of, you know, get some confidence and get him back in there. So it was kind of those two things together. And, you know, when I talked to Yuki, he was all smiles. He was so excited that we got the win and, you know, to dress and be part of it. And, you know, and next time we'll hopefully get him back in there and get him an opportunity to play earlier on. You know, I know he can help us. We've seen that at times this year.
Well, we've got two road trips remaining in the regular season. And you just mentioned a few minutes ago, they're probably the best road trips we've got. They're the shortest by far. Ferris State's about four and a half hours. You got Northern Michigan. That's our closest rival, 3 hours away. That's a far cry from what you just did with the sleeper bus and going up to Alaska and down to Huntsville. And you mentioned footprint a little bit earlier in this program, and most of us who follow this league closely are not real happy with the footprint we've got, but it's what we've got. So, you know, you've dealt with a lot of tough stuff here. I think going to Northern won't be easy. They're a very good team. They're going to be tough. Neither will Ferris State, but at least the trip's not going to be a killer.
Yeah, I can't tell you how good it feels to be through those flights and those sleeper buses and the red eyes. And, you know, I told some guys that we had the day off, as I mentioned. A couple of guys were around yesterday lifting, skating. You know, some of those guys just can't stay away. But, you know, I finally feel back to myself, and maybe because I'm older and I didn't have to play the games, though. But, you know, from Alaska, I finally feel mentally, you know, back on top of it and rested. And it's really challenging. It's a tough thing to do. And you kind of went through that first Alaska GLI, you know, and still that GLI was Sunday, Monday, you know, so that's a condensed play. And these guys are athletes playing at a high level and really putting their bodies through a lot of wear and tear. So it's a really good feeling to be home this weekend, to have those tough trips behind us. And, you know, I can only imagine, you know, what some of the coaches around the league are saying that still have to jump on a flight up to Alaska once or twice and, you know, run around the country different places. So, you know, it stacks up well this year. Now we got to make sure we take advantage of it, that we are rested, that we are ready to play and, you know, have a lot of success here at home at Taffy.
Well, we're going to take our final break of the night on the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten. We'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for our final segment of the show tonight. And, oh, what a great crowd we've got here. Eat your heart out, Randy Russin. Anyway, the players of the week this past week in the WCHA, the forward of the week, Hans Gorowski. We just saw him with Alabama Huntsville. He was in the Sioux a couple of weeks ago. They got a shootout win against us on the Saturday night game, and Hans played pretty well. He had 4 goals and an assist in the series against Anchorage in Huntsville on the weekend, so he's forward of the week. Melvin Carlson was among the honorable mentions there with his goal and assist for 2 points. The defensive player of the week was Kurt Goslin from Alabama Huntsville. 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points, a +5 rating. In a sweep, Steven Ruggiero was among the runners-up there with a +2 rating, 4 blocked shots, and a huge assist on the game-winning goal on Saturday night. And then goaltender was Zach Driscoll. We're going to see him Friday night. Bemidji State, 51 saves in 2 wins over Michigan Tech, including a game where he had a toucan over his mask because they were outdoors and it was below zero the entire game. 9.44 save percentage, goals against average 1.46 on the weekend. And Zach Driscoll, his goalie of the week, Merrick's Mittens, was a very tight runner-up. 29 save shutout of Minnesota State. And then the rookie of the week was Ross Armour, the freshman from Bemidji State. He had 4 assists in the 2 wins over Tech. And Pete Violette was the Lakers runner-up. He had the game-winning goal in the 1-0 win at Minnesota State. So, you know, the Lakers are hanging in there on all those things, but we like to hit that Players of the Week every week. That's why the league puts it out. We like to use it. And we've still got a couple of questions from our fans, Damon, and I want to talk a little bit about Mike Barrett's story on Colin Sackleman as well. But we've got questions here. Do we have any injuries? Do we have any illnesses? Is there anybody who won't be in the lineup who normally is on Friday night?
Well, from the health front, we're all right. You know, we, again, this time of year, a lot of bumps and bruises and nursing a couple things, but guys should be eligible to play. You know, unfortunately, we've had another loss in family, and Alex Ambrosio has traveled back to British Columbia to be with his family after the passing of his grandfather this past weekend. So, you know, our hearts and prayers are with Alex and his family, but yeah, he will be back home where he needs to be and should be to be with his family as they celebrate the life of his grandfather. But health-wise, we'll be okay, but we will certainly, you know, miss Alex and be thinking of Alex. It's hit our program way too much this year, and you know, been really challenging to deal with the losses that we've suffered.
Goalie rotation going to continue this weekend. I think that'd be a kind of a, you know, it'd be easy to say, okay, Nick starts almost every game. He's good at home. Let's play him. But Merrick's Mittens was outstanding Saturday night. He may have earned another start. I don't know how you look at that.
No, I think people want to make a little something going on there, you know. But, you know, we've been led by our seniors, and they've done an unbelievable job. And, you know, we haven't, you know, talked about it extensively as a staff yet. We'll get more into that in the next day and a half here. Probably notify our guys tomorrow. But, you know, you'll know more as the team knows more. But, you know, Nick's done a good job. And Merrick's, we have 2 good goaltenders, and that's a great problem to have. Either guy can go in and win a hockey game, but they'll know before anything. anybody else knows.
Yeah, and you've got a good goalie coach, too. That kid does a wonderful job. I watched him in practice last week out there on Tuesday afternoon. The goalies were going through serious practice drills. The guys were kind of going through some skill drills on their own, and it was an optional practice except for the goaltenders. They were all out there.
Well, one of the challenges, that might have been that Tuesday where it was off, and one of our goalies, I think it's Nick, has conflicts on that day, so we had to get out there and do some work, which is really too bad because you want him to rest and recover as well. But again, that was part of the decision, you know, going into Mankato, just continuing with this recovery on our bodies, you know, making sure we had fresh legs there in net. But, you know, like I said, we feel comfortable each way, but our seniors have led us, and we anticipate that continuing.
Okay, our final question from the fans here tonight. Recruiting is always a question. I know I get a lot of questions online and email and texts from fans who want to know about recruiting. Is next year's recruiting class going to continue to add speed and skill and keep us getting closer to the Minnesota State type offense that we see so often? I think we're looking at maybe a Pete Vallette, Ashton Calder, you know, Jacob Nordquist. These guys are all pretty quick and they all think the game pretty well.
Well, I think that's the even bigger one you hit is their hockey IQ. You know, some really intelligent hockey players there. And, you know, obviously speed and quickness is extremely important as well. But the hockey IQ kind of trumps everything for us in the way the game's being played. So, you know, that's the plan. If we're not doing that, then, you know, we'll be in trouble. But we certainly like, you know, what's lined up on paper here. And, we'll get through another month or two here, and then it'll get silly season. You know, we'll cross our fingers on who's leaving and who's coming back and all that good stuff. But obviously, with only four seniors, it's we don't anticipate a large class, but, you know, that can change really quickly. And, you know, and I won't be surprised. There's not a ton in the works right now, but I think when you look at the season we're having, you know, as much as you see some of it social media-wise and some of the polls, the interest from you know, advisors and pro staffs and personnel picks up as well. So, you know, I hope we get guys back. The guys who are eligible to return, I hope they're all back, but the reality is I'd be more surprised if we get them all than if there's a couple of departures, so we'll try to continue to be prepared for that as well.
Okay, I want to mention here before we get out of here tonight too and give Mike Barrett credit. You know, I think Mark Vasey's doing a great job as sports information director. He is right on top of a lot of stuff, but he gets a lot of help, and Mike's here with us tonight. And his story on Colin Sackelman, where he talked about Colin's passion for the game and all the things he does, and he got into the stuff about magic. Even I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
And I'm around that kid all the time. But okay. I thought it was a great story, really well done. I wanted to give him credit on the air for it. And what a great season Colin Sackelman's having, and what a really good, high-character kid he is.
Oh, the magic, man. You know, he's a Shattuck product and just a tremendous kid. And, you know, he played for Tom Ward there, and Tom's in Buffalo there too, and he just told us right away that this is a guy you win with, a guy you want, went on to Waterloo in the USHL. And, you know, offensively in Waterloo didn't have a, you know, a ton of points and you know, some opportunity as well. And you know, we always saw that from Shattuck, and you know, even with the limited opportunities at Waterloo, we thought he could be an offensive impact. And we've got some other guys like that in the pipeline that, you know, some guys, well, he's not going to do much offensively, and we kind of say, well, we don't agree. You know, the vision, the skill, it's there, and sometimes it's the role you give them and the way you play. So Colin's done an unbelievable job for us, and it's funny, I don't know if Mike and I got into it, but somewhere with Colin as well, you know, he's, I don't know, top three and goal scored for defense in the NCAA. He's also top five in block shots. It's not very often you get a kid that skilled that's willing to go back to the other end and eat pucks and, you know, and sacrifice. And, you know, so he's an unbelievable player, just a real character. I'll quickly, I'm not a great storyteller, but 2-3 years ago at our year-end banquet for, you know, all of our athletes, I think we called it the ESPY Awards that year. There had about 150 people in the room. Carol, were you there? Some people were there. And every single person in the room got a playing card, and you had to bend it and rip it and pass it to the person next to you and across the table. And he's up like a master magician walking around the room and calling it out, and people are laughing. And at the end, you pulled out your card and it worked, you know, spot on. It was unbelievable for, 21 years old or something like that to go in there and command the room and pull that off. So just a real a real unique character, a tremendous kid, and we're certainly, happy to have him as assistant captain for us. He's one of those guys that's going to be interesting to watch. I know his education's so important to him, so I think we'll have him back, but with the year he's having, he's going to have potentially some decisions to make after the season. But he's an absolute honor to coach and great to have around in the
Yeah, it's
room.
hard to project stuff like that on when somebody might leave. I know we got surprised when Ben Doulas left after his freshman year, and we had Holtz leave at sign and go away on us, and those things kind of set you back. There's really no definite planning for that, but you can kind of try to project who might go. You're talking Sackman. I think Ruggiero's another one who could go and sign with somebody. I mean, he's had a good year. He's a great skater. He's a tough guy, and he's smart. So the rest of them, I don't know. I don't think anybody would go anywhere just yet, but you got to worry about
Yeah,
that.
you don't know, and it's kind of funny you think about that. If Mitch Holtz was down the middle right now, we'd have a 6'4" senior who had, I don't know, 20 some points as a freshman, and he'd be back there, and so it does. It impacts your planning. When Mitch signs early, when Chris signs early, you don't have somebody that at that level ready to step in. You've got to bring a guy in early or go find somebody late, and it does alter it. But we all deal with it now, and again, we're hoping we can be more prepared. I feel like we are. We've been at to the point now. I'm not sure Mankato anybody ever brings anybody in that's not 20 years old anymore. They've had some continuity there amongst their staff and been around to do that. So I think we're much closer to that way, where certainly won't be a young kid, but you win with experience and guys who've gone through the trenches and the battles at different levels. And so we'll try to be as best prepared as we can be for that. Bill, before you cut me off here, I just have to mention that Czech Slash Survive is coming up, and if you want to guarantee your size and your item, pre-orders are due by January 27th, so you'd have to get on the Twitter feed or the Facebook, and whatever it is. It's online orders right now, and again, if you want, that hockey hood lacy or the certain size and a certain model or stock of shirt, you have to go online and pre-order. So those of you listening in, make sure you pre-order. I think they'll be on campus here Wednesday, and also at War Memorial, I believe, tomorrow as well. So you might see them around town, but again, get online and get those pre-orders in.
All righty, that one will be coming up when we play Michigan Tech here in the month of February. I want to make mention of one other thing. Jim Wiley, ex-Laker, ex-professional hockey player, is going into the Sioux Ontario Hockey Hall of Fame on Saturday night. We're going to have him on after the second period of the game on Friday night. He is coming to the Laker game, and I'm really looking forward to that. He played for the Lakers from 1968 till 72. And Jim Wiley is a great guy out of the Canadian Sioux, and we congratulate him on his induction into the Hall of Fame. We're out of time here tonight. I want to thank Matt Pocket for engineering here. Good to have Matt back with us this weekend, and Emily Pentecost doing the job back at the radio station. For Damon Whitten and the fans here, Bill Crawford, so long till next Tuesday night on the Laker Hockey Show.